It's the day we Catholics like. We love this day. This is the day that makes us unique. This is the day that makes us quite singular. There are others that celebrate Christmas with us, they say. They celebrate Easter with us, they say. They don't worship or adore the same God. This is the day. This is the day when the gauntlet is thrown down. When the gauntlet is picked up, it will be a fight to the death, and the man that loses, that dies, will be the victor. Our Lord Jesus Christ crashes into reality on this day with all those things that we will need to find meditation, live as life, to live as Christ, to die as gain. There will be the first Mass after tonight. And because there will be the first Mass, children, there will be the first Holy Communion. There is going to be the confession that will have to be offered so our souls can be clean when they receive our Lord Jesus Christ. And there will be a priesthood that has to perform these things in the name and person of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the day, which is why it's in white, and we celebrate this day. The church wants us to review quickly these things, the Mass. First, the Mass. In this Last Supper, our Lord's first Mass, the second one will be on Calvary. He'll leave all the other ones to his altari Christi, other Christs. This Mass, its centerpiece being the Holy Eucharist, is not a symbol. It is not a narration. It's not a story. Our Lord did nothing by symbols. All things were by his word, and there was an action. The Catholics believe it's not a symbol. It is an action. An action. Actions are hinged upon what good they bring into creation. What good do they bring into creation? What goodness do they bring into creation? That's our examination of conscience. What acts bring into the very best of creation? The quality of the act is determined by the quality of the good that brings into creation. This answers our questions about our music, our clothing, our relationships, our friends. All these questions. What brings good into being? By an action that we will learn is really Christ's in us. The Mass is the highest of actions, which means Calvary was the highest and most dread of actions. An action that is not to be compared for, first of all, its fullness, and that it goes beyond just any one person. All persons of all time, past, present, and future, benefit by the Mass, by the Calvary represented, the past act in the present. The past act in the present. Also, the Mass is known for its quality of good that it brings into creation by its success. By its success, review the success of the Mass. Review the success of what Calvary did. And also its fullness, its plenitude and power, I should say. Its power. There's nothing else more powerful than the Mass. It was instituted tonight. This action. This action, which again, not just a story, but which we participate in. So that we hear our Lord Jesus Christ even say in our mouths, this is my body, this is my blood. And where there's a consecration, there will be a communion, and people will eat us for the charity of Christ that we give away. The Holy Eucharist. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you shall not have my life in you. So we're learning it's not about avoiding sins, but our life is the Christ life, and that's all about beatitudes, honoring and adoring God the Father. We cannot do this on our own. We cannot do it by self-improvement. This is saying, do unto me according to thy will. Thy will be done. It's Jesus Christ living in us, which is not just to avoid sin, but to adore God the Father by means that our Lord provides tonight, the Eucharist. You are what you eat. We are what you eat. You want to look like a French fry? Eat French fries. You want to drink Dr. Pepper? Be all bubbly and pimply like carbonated soda. You are what you eat. Biggie size me. The Eucharist, you are what you eat. We priests are told to to be what we handle. Confession. That your sins can be absolved. That you can be offered a kiss of peace by our best friend. That you can start with a blank slate. Confession. Absolution. That is to say, forgotten. Your sins become a nothing burger. They're not even in the mind of God. It's best to think of that. They are forgotten, buried at the bottom of the deepest sea, and if your sins are scarlet, they are now as white as snow. Forgotten, eliminated, incinerated. An absolution, a cleansing, which restores you to the very day of your baptism. Absolution, a kiss of peace. Maybe you don't like the kiss idea. Well, then a handshake, whatever it is, a show of reconciliation. I'm good. Are you good? Yeah, we're good. God the Father and ourselves. Jesus Christ and ourselves. And then a blank slate. You are not defined by what you leave behind. You're not defined by what you leave behind. Be confident in that, because the devil wants to shake that confidence. All right? It's gone. Blank slate. Start fresh. And our Lord does not hang our sins over our head. Confession. After he gives us power to apostles to withhold absolution for sins for which we're not sorry enough for, or to absolve us. Only Catholics have these words, can be ensured, guaranteed their sins are forgiven. And then lastly, you need a priesthood that makes it all happen. Altari Christi. Won't be long that we'll step down off this pulpit and wash the feet of 12 apostles. There's a prayer that I will pray after it's all done, which speaks about the hands of the priest, hands which have just washed the feet of apostles. These are Christ's hands, just like yours are. These are consecrated. Yours also are meant to offer up acts of charity on the altar of your heart by your baptism. But these are Christ's hands. And young men, we need more hands. It's not that there's a scarcity of priests. The miracle is that there's any priest left. When you think of the past 2,000 years, 1,900 and some odd years, that there's still priests left, it's a miracle. Because our Lord has to ensure that there's one there. So on that altar, till the end of time, priests. So our Lord has to institute a priesthood today, and does. Props to one priest who was thought about on that night, whose birthday is today, Father Emil Kapan, the great chaplain born in Kansas, whose body was just found after 70 years out in Hawaii amongst all the remains of many, many soldiers who fought in wars. He was a chaplain in two theaters. Father Emil Kapan, his bones have been found, a priest that was born today and would have been a society priest. So I come off this pulpit soon to wash feet of apostles. Notice that our Lord has already eaten the meal, sent the women away that made the lamb chops or whatever was there that night. He wants to be with his boys, his men. And the first act seems quite mysterious. It was to them and it is still to us. And it's not just something to talk about. It's not just something to acknowledge. It's an example to follow for all of us. Think of the washing of feet. It's a bonus, by the way. Our Lord has had his feet washed before by forgetful men, his own apostles, leaving it to the tears and the hair of a prostitute. What a sign of humility to wash feet. Hands you had to wash. Feet would have been a bonus. And now, therefore, a charitable act of our Lord Jesus Christ. Feet that are scaly, that are stinky because they sweat when you got socks on. Or when you sweat in the Middle Eastern sun and you've walked through some human waste and you've walked through some animal waste and through clay and through mud. Your feet are not clean, gnarly. And here is the Lord Christ who created those feet that assisted in every step they took, was even mindful of growing toenails. He's on his knees washing the feet of those who should be his servants. But the master gets down and washes the feet as a sign of going beyond any one of ourselves, and acknowledging that any good that is done, any charity that is shown, any new law of charity that is obeyed is going to be Christ's life in us. There was once a missionary, I'm told, that was questioned by a little child in the catechism class. Little child asked, well, I don't believe in the Jesus. Because if he's so powerful, then Jesus should be able to make other Jesuses. And I don't know where those other Jesuses are. I don't see them. What was the missionary's answer? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Jesus does create other Jesuses, make other Jesuses. Some are at the altar. The rest of us are celebrating the Mass, our living Mass, on the altar of our hearts in the conduct which is Christ's charity and genuine love. The devil should have known better after tonight. The devil should have known better after tonight. But in his pride, he figured that taking this man's life was going to be his solution. No. So since the garden, when he was talked about, God was talked about it not really existing, or not the God that we were going to be taught existed. He's not God. He just doesn't want you to become God. That challenge is answered starting tonight. We are engaged, and Christ is after the devil. He is the dragon slayer, the draconis trucidator, and fights for us so he might live in us. We let him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.